Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
ES Audio.
From the Evening Standard in London, I'm Rochelle Travers, and this is The Leader. Warning, this podcast contains strong language as well as major spoilers for With Open Eyes, episode 10 of season 4, the last ever episode of Succession. So if you haven't seen it already, you best go watch it before you listen.
I know that we've said the worst things, but I just wanted to get a few things straight.
Dad said that it would be me.
If we want to hold on to this company, for us, we have to go into battle with our own version of the future, with a king.
Succession heads, that's it. We finally have our answer. Waystar Royco's next CEO, and with it, the actual successor. 4 seasons, 39 episodes, umpteen brutal insults, countless F-bombs, and all that family backstabbing have amounted to this final decision. The 90-minute finale didn't disappoint, with twists and turns right up until the last moment, resulting in the crowning of an unexpected victor, and ultimately delivering one hell of an unhappy ending for basically nearly everyone. Here with me to review the final ever episode of Succession are...
I'm Elizabeth Gregory, I'm a culture writer.
And I'm Hamish McBain, I'm the deputy editor of ES Magazine.
So, first of all, Liz, episode 10, season 4, With Open Eyes, the last ever episode of Succession. Can you just give us a recap of what happened?
So, episode 10 begins with Kendall, and he is trying to rustle up enough board votes so that he can stop the Gojo deal from going through. And then Shiv and Mattson are also trying to get enough board votes. At the time that we join the episode, it looks like Mattson and Shiv have it. They're looking for Roman because they both need him for the votes, and he's in Barbados at their mum's house. So they go down to that Barbados. There are a couple of fights. They anoint Kendall, and then they go as a group to the boardroom to try and stop the Gojo deal.
And obviously it all built up and the actual successor was revealed. Kind of a, well, ultimately Mattson won, but Tom ended up being the new Waystar CEO. Were you satisfied with that ending, Hamish?
Yes, I think broadly speaking, my knee-jerk reaction was, I want to know a bit more about what's going on with these people. I wanted a bit more of an ending-y ending. But having reflected and had a few texts from Liz arguing, I do think it was a really good ending and really clever and a really smart choice in the sense that, and I think Jesse Armstrong made this point somewhere where he just basically said, organizations like Waystar, it is always the slimy, middle of the road, middle manager, Tom type people who ultimately rise to the top because there is so much bureaucracy and bullshit. And so, yeah, in that sense, I thought it was a slightly depressing but very, very cool ending.
And Liz, you've been Team Kendall throughout this.
Yeah, it was a rough one for Kendall fans, for sure. Yeah, particularly because he's been kind of groomed for this position since he was 7 years old, he said. And he literally, like you said, he's a cog that only works in one machine. So the fact that he was then, now he will never, ever get to be the CEO of Waystar. It's kind of, he's completely lost. So in a way, it felt kind of brilliant because it was this kind of Shakespearean tragedy, you know. But on the other hand, if you're rooting for Kendall, it was a bit rough.
I also think that, you know, to be Team Kendall for a second, I think that it's been pretty apparent throughout the entire series that Kendall is always really, really, really actually believed that there is nothing else he can do. Whereas Shiv has gone off and done politics, you know, Roman doesn't really care, is just kind of happy to play in the weird mind games of who's going to be leader. But really, I think Shiv or Roman could take it or leave it. Mm-hmm. I think if you're talking about where the characters go from here, I do think that Shiv and Roman will find something else fulfilling to do, whereas I think Kendall, this is what will define his life.
Yeah, this moment will define him. Yeah.
And obviously, we've not really touched upon what happened to Shiv and Roman in the end. Shiv, it all came down to Shiv's vote, and she ultimately decided to go against Kendall and instead chose to back the Gojo deal, ultimately making Tom Waystar CEO. On paper, you know, she's married to the CEO of Waystar and everything, but it's kind of a hollow victory for her. It, you know, it's not exactly the life she would have ever chosen, is it?
No, it felt like a very, very, very strange decision. And because it's only been a day, I still haven't kind of...
It's going to take some time.
Yeah, to kind of grapple with why she made that decision. It was so spiteful. And, you know, did she really, like Kendall said, want to give it to Mattson and Tom, who had kind of betrayed her again and again? And then there she is sat in the end in the car with him. And so you could analyze it and say, this is what she's used to. She's used to these kind of... If her father messed her up repeatedly, maybe that's what she kind of like, how she sees a leader, and that's, she wants to be with Tom in that way. I don't know. What do you think, Hamish?
I think that my thought that I've had quite recently is that she was being quite pragmatic about it, in the sense that she looked at the two options that were on the table, all, you know, vendettas and poisonous thinking aside, and just thought, with Kendall, I'm just not going to be involved at all. Mm. With Tom, I can maybe control Tom, especially now that I'm having a baby with him. And I can still have much more influence within Waystar Royco with Tom as a kind of patsy CEO, especially given that he's going to spend the rest of his life feeling incredibly guilty about what he's done to her.
Do you think?
Well, probably not. I retract that statement. But you know, I feel like maybe that was informed her decision, that she just felt, at least I can control Tom. I can manipulate Tom and get him to do what I want to do. But that said, I think the driving factor was very much a spur of the moment decision, it felt like. It just felt like when she looked at Kendall putting his feet up on Logan's old desk, and the fact that he spent, the minute they walked into the building, was just walking around like he owned the place. And I think she said to Roman at some point, she said, you'd be bad, but he'd be unbearable. Mm-hmm. And it was more just that, she her childlike sibling kicked in and just went, he's so annoying. No. And that trumped everything.
I totally agree. I really feel like if Kendall had given her a second, you know, and she left and she wanted to kind of go and take a moment for herself, I think if he had left her, she might have actually voted no and let him be CEO. But because he kind of followed her and started barking at her and just talking about himself, he didn't present any other arguments. He just said, what about me? What about me? And I think in that moment, her head, like something in her head switched and was like, absolutely not. He should have given her some space.
Yeah. I mean, there was Kendall, as we know, is probably the most narcissistic of the three Sibs.
It's a tough competition.
Yeah. It's a hotly contested category. But I would say that he is the most narcissistic. But also, you did sympathise him with him to a degree when he started talking about how it had been promised to him as a 7-year-old boy, and how messed up is that? Yeah. And so he was groomed to not want anything else in life, not consider himself able to do anything else in life. I mean, if you consider that he was born into unimaginable wealth, he could have easily gone off and done his own thing or whatever, but Logan clearly wanted control over him but didn't want him in control. Yeah. So, you know, he was just born into this existence where there was really never going to be any other thing apart from constantly trying to become the successor.
Yeah. And his dad knew that and yet kind of allowed him to trail along but never let him near the kind of prize, yeah, which must have been awful for Kendall.
I mean, it's a good trick that Succession has done, I think, in that getting us as an audience to sympathize with people who ostensibly are such loathsome, unimaginably privileged people. And yet by the end, you felt really sorry for Roman. You felt sorry for Shiv. You felt sorry for Kendall. You even felt sorry for Tom, mm, because you just felt, well, you've won, but what have you won? You've won the chance to be puppet mastered by yet another maniacal, erratic billionaire who's just told you to your face that he wants to fuck your wife and that your wife wants to fuck him. That's what you win. That's the prize.
Let's go to the ads. Stay there to hear how we think Succession's ending compares to others in TV history.
Thank you. When everyone's on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. Make a bigger impact at work with Grammarly. Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. You can even save time by going from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds. Join the 96% of Grammarly users that say it helps them craft more impactful writing. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said, done.
Welcome back. Still with me are the Evening Standard's Elizabeth Gregory and Hamish McBain. I don't think anyone was probably happy in the ending. There seemed to be a sort of misery across the board. Roman never really bounced back at all as well in this episode. Sometimes we've discussed the pattern before where it's like whoever's, sort of at the lowest at the start of the episode kind of comes back at the end. But yeah. Roman sort of stayed down, didn't he? And just was sort of like a broken sort of shell of a person still.
Yeah. And it didn't bode well for his future.
No.
Just sat kind of alone in a bar having a cocktail, which, by the way, is the same cocktail as Jerry's cocktail of choice, Martini. So that kind of felt like an ode to Jerry in a way, even if it was subconscious.
Good spot.
Yeah.
Good spot.
I would have liked more of a Jerry-Roman conclusion, like a final meeting between them, just because that kind of felt like, Jerry, we didn't really hear a lot from this episode. And that was one of the key relationships that Succession fans really loved, is the Jerry-Roman dynamic.
Yeah, I feel if I have a minor gripe with the finale and maybe the latter half of this season, it is that Jerry, if you compare her to someone like Carolina, who has always been a peripheral character, remained a peripheral character, stayed in the periphery, never really got to know anything about her. Whereas Jerry, for a good three seasons, was, if not a main character, then, you were really invested in her story and you kind of knew a bit about her, and especially with the Roman stuff. And it did feel like they had too many ends to tie up and she sort of got forgotten about a bit in the last few episodes. Mm-hmm. I mean, I feel like the blame for this may have to lay at the door of Alexander Skarsgård for making Mattson such a compelling character. I mean, he was a bit of a scene stealer, wasn't he? As in, he just, once he arrived in this season at that retreat with his hood up, he just sort of took over the show and became almost one of the main characters. Mm-hmm. And I think probably, I don't know. I mean, I wasn't in the writer's room. I don't know. But I feel like they maybe have put more Mattson in at the expense of some of those outsider characters.
Yeah, he was astonishing in this episode as well.
Yeah, yeah.
That scene with Tom, like you touched on, was just wow. And everything from talking about the Xeroxed fish to being so rude about Shiv, it was just like, it was jaw-dropping.
Yeah.
And it really reminded me actually that Mattson's such an asshole, because at the end of the day, the fact that he fancies Shiv is the reason that he's firing her, or at least one of them. But I think sometimes, I don't know, I get like caught up in his shiny gold jackets and like forget that he has blood bricks and that he's kind of literally terrible.
Well, it's very easy to get swept up by someone being handsome and well dressed and, to coin a phrase, not giving a fuck. Like, he genuinely doesn't care about very much. And those kind of characters are compelling. And you do, it does mean you overlook that they're terrible, terrible people.
Yeah.
And not that you're rooting for him, but you're just pleased when he's on stage, on screen, because it's just fun.
Do you think he was deserving? Because obviously Mattson is the ultimate winner in all this, really. He got what he wanted in the end. He's got a puppet now with Tom, but, he has all the power.
It felt true to life. I'm not sure whether deserving, but in the end, money does win, or tends to. And that's why it was always going to be difficult for them to kind of persuade the board to vote against the deal, because everyone else at that table gets this incredible golden parachute, which is why Frank wanted to vote for it. And so I think it was kind of inevitable. But then you were just hoping that somehow they would manage to, like, I don't know. Well, those of us that were rooting for Waystar, which but it kind of made sense in the end, didn't it?
Yeah. One thing I forgot to mention, which is silly of me as a Greg stan, is things kind of worked out for Greg. Like, you know, I mean, he didn't get the CEO position that we kind of speculated about last week.
He got
week.
A nasty slap in the face, didn't he?
But he also hit back with Tom. Yeah.
Yeah, that was great.
So, I mean, it was a nice moment for the Tom and Greg fans of that relationship to see that despite Greg sort of ultimately selling him out and, you know, giving Kendall the heads up about what was going on, Tom said he was going to take him with him by putting the sticker, the allocation sticker on his head.
Yeah, I saw someone say laziest Halloween outfits next year.
That's a good one, actually. Are we happy that the Tom-Greg dynamic sort of was concluded in that way and that wrapped up their story?
Yeah, I actually think that Greg's going to be devoted to Tom from this point onwards. Like, I know that he has the papers hidden still, which he could use against Tom, but I just think he was so nearly out then and he was so freaked out that I think that from now on he's going to think, do you know what, Tom's got my back. He had my back even when I betrayed him. I'm sticking with this guy, and I think that's he's going to be his like lapdog forever.
I think he will be his lapdog for a period of time, and the minute an opportunity arises to screw Tom over and take the crown for himself, he will take it.
But that means we need another series to cover that.
But that's kind of the great thing about the ending in a way is that it's put people on a path. It's the end of the story of the succession, but you can still imagine what they might be going on. So there isn't that finality. I have to say, when I first finished watching it, I was craving a bit more finality. Like, I'd like to see Kendall living in a house on an island, happy with his kids, and Roman running a
always such a pipe dream.
Roman running a successful business in bloody Nuremberg or whatever, you know. But with a bit of distance, I like the fact that it is slightly open ended and cyclical, because I feel like they'll never really escape their bloodline and who they are.
So how do you think that this final ever episode of such a hit TV show compares with some of the other greats?
I think it's up there for certain. I think with time, people will see it as a more satisfying ending. They're at a great disadvantage to the Breaking Bads and the Sopranos and the Wires in that they can't kill people regularly. Well, no, but being serious, that does obviously help.
I wouldn't have ruled it out, to be honest.
But I do think the Sibs, the kitchen scene was beautiful, I thought. It was really, really cool. I love that. Those are my favourite moments in Succession, I think, is when the three of them, just despite everything that's going on, no matter what stage they're at in terms of hating each other, not hating each other, the pressure they're under, they always just find these little pockets to regress to being 5, 6, and 3 and just having fun like kids.
Yeah, I agree. There was a fantastic final. They had so many different ends to tie up. So many, if you think about all of the characters and all of the kind of spiraling plot lines. And they managed to do such a great job. And there was real, real drama in it. Like the moment where Shiv finds out that Tom is going to be it, and she walks in and says to her brothers, "We're off!" And then Nicholas Britell's incredible score and those kind of deep... I don't know what musical instrument that is or whether it's a kind of combination, but it was just so dramatic. And then they like storm out, and there were these really fantastic kind of jaw-dropping moments. But they also, like you were saying, Hamish, I think it was the contrast between those dramatic moments and then very, very, very intimate scenes between the siblings that made it so good.
Succession is available to watch in the UK on Sky Atlantic and Now. The Leader podcast is back tomorrow at 4 p.m.